Praise you for this time. Lord, anoint our hearing this morning. Strengthen our spirit. We stand this morning with the Spirit. We pray that to be able to turn to you, to rise up with you, take away all of our veils so that we can understand your word, that it can dwell in our hearts. That the manner of this city would be the manner of our hearts. We humble ourselves before you. We humble ourselves also before all of the saints, that you can speak to us. Thank you for this time. Lord, reveal yourself to us in your glory. Reveal us your holiness and your glory. Show us what is pure and what is impure. What is holy and what is unholy in your house. Cleanse us this morning anew with your word. Pray that we would really have a water bath in the word. Sanctify and cleanse your church through the water bath in the word. Give us all a vision of the heavenly Jerusalem. Speak to us from your throne. Pray that all the veils that are still in our hearts would be taken away. That we would truly see your picture. We want to repent from all of our own ways. We want to repent from all of the ways that are not in alignment with yours. We want to see what is in your heart, Father. Give our brother also grace to express this today. Anoint the whole meeting. We humble ourselves to you. Speak to us, our God. Lord, speak to us. We need your speaking. We need the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Give us grace that we can really hear your voice. Help us to understand and to see what you want to show us. We pray that we don't just do anything here, but that we would build up the house, that the city, build up the city that comes out of heaven from God, so that what you're doing here through us would abide in eternity. We pray that we don't consecrate our lives here for something that will pass away, but we want to consecrate our lives here for something that will abide. Help us and strengthen us this morning for this purpose. It's really wonderful. The Lord really has a wonderful work. The wonderful thing about his work is that his work is with man. That's really the focus of his work. God can only achieve his goal together with man through Jesus Christ. Because in the end of the Bible, what do we see? I read Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, for the first heaven coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. The last two chapters of the Bible show us that everything is made new. New heaven. I don't know what the new heaven, what the new sky will look like, but I'm sure it will be very glorious. Today, when you look in the sky, it's already very beautiful. Blue sky, the clouds, the sunset, the sunrise. At night, you see the stars. But a new heaven, a new sky, I'm sure it will be very wonderful. And then a new earth. What will this new earth look like? It will really be a paradise. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. The sea in the Bible never has a positive annotation. In the sea, all sorts of creatures live that God certainly doesn't want to have in eternity. The demons, for example, live in the sea. And here he doesn't say much about the new earth and the new heaven, what it will look like. In Genesis, we see what the Garden of Eden looked like. It's not here about the things of nature. Here, he talks about the holy city, the New Jerusalem. That's the focus here. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God really wants to do such a wonderful work with us. It's his desire. I read Psalm 132, verse 13. Psalm 132, verse 13. David really knew a lot about the Lord's desire. Psalm 132, verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Today, it's still a desire of the Lord. It's like an unfulfilled desire of the Lord. Why is it like that? It's because the building isn't finished. It's like if you build a house, as long as it's still in the process of building it, you can only desire to live in it one day. But you cannot live in it yet because it's not finished. But already in your heart, you have a desire to live in this house that is being built. And this is how it is with God as well. God desires to dwell here on earth with his people for all eternity. He desires to live here. He says, this is my resting place forever. It's his final dwelling place. So the temple, to live in the temple is just temporary for God. He wants to live on earth with his saints forever. That is his final dwelling place. But the thing is, in order to move into the new Jerusalem can't happen until the city is prepared. This is what the Lord really wants to write into our hearts, that we can be people who see what God wants and to say, Lord, I give myself to you through this. I consecrate myself for this. Imagine you build a house and every day no workers are working on the construction site. Every time you come, you paid maybe for all of them to build your house. The Lord, he redeemed all of us. He paid for all of us with his blood. None of us belong to ourselves anymore. But then you come to the construction site and there's nobody there. Nobody's working. Then you have to go look for the workers. Where are they? What are they doing? They were distracted, doing other things. And then the building is delayed. It takes longer than expected. And at the end, when things are supposed to be finished, then it takes the longest. You would think, we should be done. But then, they need several more months until the building is really finished. We live in such a time today. God wants to complete his building. He wants to complete his building with us today. So where do you want to be today? I only want to be on this building site. What else should I do with my time, with my life? The Lord desires this for his dwelling place. The Lord desires this wonderful building place. When Christ was on earth, what was he dealing with? When he was 12, what was the Lord dealing with? Where did he get lost? In Jerusalem. when he was 12 years old. His parents were looking for him everywhere, desperately. And in Luke 2:46, it says that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Luke 2:46. If his parents had known his heart, they would have found Jesus after 3 minutes. Because this was all that was in his heart. Where do you find Jesus? Will you find him when he was 12 years old? In the temple. He knew the Lord wants to dwell on earth. It's about this building. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. And then they said, why did you do this? Why have you done this to us? In verse 28, and he said in verse 49, why did you seek me? If I want to find this or that person, okay, I come to the meeting, then I will find them there. Is that how it is with us? If I want to find a brother, I go to the meeting and then I will meet him 100%. Is that how it is with us? Why were you looking for me? Of course you know I would be here. I need to be and I must be about my Father's business. The way our hearts are, the way our hearts look like, that's how we live. The way we live expresses what's in our hearts. We shouldn't betray ourselves. Do not deceive yourself. The way you live reflects what your heart is like. And because the Father's business was in the Lord's heart, that's why he was in the temple. He said, did you not know, verse 49, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Where must you be? Do you have to be here and there, and I have to do this, and I have to be there, and I have to do that, and I have to take care of this? The Lord only had to be in one place, and that was in the house of his Father. You can't gain him for anything else. Already when he was just 12 years old, he wasn't at the playground in Jerusalem. He was in the temple of Jerusalem. And that never changed his whole life long, never. His whole life long, he was very clearly for the house of the Father. You couldn't find him anywhere else. Psalm 69 also talks about Christ. Verse 8 in English. Psalm 69, verse 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers. Who were his brothers? Those were the ones who did the will of God. Who are our brothers? Who are our sisters? And I have become an alien to my mother's children because the zeal for your house has eaten me up. Has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Psalm 69, verse 9. Christ really knew his Father. He knew the Father wants this wonderful dwelling place. And the zeal for your house has eaten me up. This is really, really precious. This is what the Lord is pleased by, if to live like this. And you know, soon everything else will be eaten up. Soon everything else will be consumed. If you read the Revelation, there will be a big fire coming, consuming all things. It will consume the houses. It will consume the companies and the businesses. It will consume everything. But if we are now consumed by the zeal for God's house, then we will not be consumed when this fire comes at the end, but we will remain, we will abide, we will be steadfast. It's so wonderful what the Lord is doing with us, what he wants to do with us. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to give our lives to you. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 9. There are others in the scripture who saw God's house. Hebrews 9, Verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. With the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Christ came as a high priest with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That means not of this creation. Lord Jesus, what should we do? The house is not built with hands. Timo is sometimes building things, and he can use many hands to help him, many helping hands. But how is it with this house? It's not built with hands. It's not made by this creation. So how do you want to build it? How can you build this house? Verse 24, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands. Made with hands. He has not entered a holy place made with hands. It's a very special building. Hebrews 8, verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not man. Hebrews 8, verse 2. Such an emphasis. Why does the Lord emphasize this so strongly? Why is he always repeating that it's not built with hands, that it's not of this creation, that it's not made by man? Everything that we can do for God is not something that God can accept, that God can do. We really have to see this. Everything that we can do with our hands will not be accepted by God. That's why he says in Acts chapter 7, verses 48, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? And what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? We can make many things. We can build many things. We can, our education, family, we can build up. But in God's house, the emphasis is that the man, as he is, cannot build God's house. This is really an emphasis. It's not that easy to grasp it, to understand it, because if we see it and if we are willing to build the Lord's house and we want to do something, we want to roll up our sleeves and do something about it. But it's amazing. In the Bible, David wanted to build the Lord's house. Was he allowed to build it? He wasn't allowed. Amazing. David said to Nathan, I want to build a house. And Nathan at first said, oh yeah, great idea. The Lord is with you in everything that you do. The next day, Nathan had to come back with a different message and say, David, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to build the Lord's house. Isn't that amazing? There's a man, he's so willing to give all things, but he's not allowed to build God's house. Then Solomon comes. Solomon received all wisdom from God. What did Solomon say in Psalm 127, he says, unless the Lord builds the house, verse 1, they labor in vain who build it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Even Solomon repeats that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So the question is, what does this have to do with us? Does this pertain to us or not? Ask yourself, how many churches in the last 2,000 years rose up and then fell again? How many churches popped up but then crumbled into nothing again? You know, all of the churches that built up and then fell, crumbled again. Why? Because they were built with man's hands. This is a warning that history teaches us. That means it's not that easy to build the Lord's house. You see how many movements, how many things seemed so wonderful at the beginning. At the end, they became old, dead, separated, fell apart. How come? Because their own hands started to contribute. I want to read a verse from Galatians 3. Galatians also started very well. Galatians 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect by the flesh? Galatians 3, verse 3. This is the problem. At the beginning, the Spirit is stirred up. At the beginning, you rely on the Lord. At the beginning, you realize, I cannot do it by myself. I can't do anything apart from the Lord. And you humble yourself before the Lord. You seek the Lord day and night. But then over time, what happens after 5 years? What happens after 10 years? Then we start to think, I actually know how this works. I think I can do something. Or maybe we don't think anything at all. We just continue in the same routine as we are used to. And then we land in the flesh. And we don't even notice it at all. We don't notice it, and this is the problem. Seven churches in Revelation, five of them already fell away from the Lord. Did they notice it? They didn't. Did Laodicea notice that they, what kind of condition they had fallen into? It was absolutely the opposite. Not only did they not notice it, but they completely judged themselves oppositely the way the Lord judged them. The Lord said, you are wretched, pathetic, blind, exposed, naked. And what did they say? We are rich. We have become rich. We have need of nothing. Can this happen? Can it happen to us? Did Satan become dumber over time and he's not able to deceive the Christians anymore, that they think that they're okay, but actually they're not okay at all? Have you ever had a moment in your life where the Lord really stirred you up, where he really woke you up and you realize, whoa, I was really all not on the right path? Have you ever had this experience? You consecrate yourself to the Lord, you come to the meeting, you speak the word, you pray, okay, but maybe it's a little bit less than before, but then the Lord says to me, you have left your first love. Have you ever experienced this before? This building is so difficult because of the serpent. And the serpent, he twists our thoughts. And we come away from what is really the path of the Lord and what brings us onward. What brings us onward? He said, you began, in Galatians 3, in the Spirit. You began in the Spirit, Galatians 3:3. The Spirit is really what brings us onward. This building, God's path, must be done completely in the Spirit. Completely in the Spirit. How often do you think of your spirit? How often have you thought about your spirit this morning already? How much do we cherish our spirit? We cherish what we take care of. The Lord says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. If your heart is your car, is your treasure, then I will see you every week down the street at the car wash, washing your car. And your whole trunk will be full of special cleaning material to clean the wheels, to clean the steering wheel. Every 2 or 3 months, I go to the car wash to wash my car. Every once in a while, you do have to actually wash your car. But sometimes I see people there. I don't even need to speak to them, but I already see what they love. Their whole trunk is full of cleaning supplies for their car. They love their car. You can love many things. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. What do we consecrate ourselves for? Do we give ourselves to know our spirit? Is that what we love? Is it that which is most important to us? Our clothes, our appearance, our houses, our careers? It's all going to pass away. Even familia will pass away. Does it mean that you shouldn't take care of these things? I don't have holes in all my clothes and holes in my jeans. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't take care of yourself to be decent. But where is your heart? That's a different matter. It's not that you shouldn't vacuum your apartment anymore. But do you really have to spend all Saturday in a furniture store to pick out the most chic furniture for your apartment? Or should we pray and serve the Lord, maybe come and together to give ourselves for the kingdom together on a Saturday? Where our heart is, where our treasure is. Yeah, where our treasure is, there is our heart. I tell you, at the end, if our whole heart does not belong to the Lord and to His building, then we are deceived. Isaiah says, the ash deceived his heart. Ash. We just recently made a video on YouTube about the idols. There's so many idols. I met a few people. I once had a boss. He told me how he lives his career life, his work life. He only worked 4 hours a day, and the rest of the time he worked. 80 hours a week was his minimal work week. 100 hours a week is more his normal, and I had to calculate how many hours does a week even have. But it's a deceit. At the end, it's ash. There's so many things that want to distract our hearts in this time. But the Lord wants to show us in this time, really, what's with our spirit. What condition is our spirit in today? Do we even know what condition our spirit is at today? And how do we recognize the working of the Spirit? How much are we exercised to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh? How clear is the difference in our daily life between soul and spirit? How trained is our spirit? These are the questions that we should ask ourselves if we want this holy city to be the focus and priority of my heart, because it can only be completed by the Spirit. I want to be a spiritual man, but what is a spiritual man? A spiritual man is not just someone who was born again. That doesn't make you a spiritual man. It's not enough just to be born again. That's just the beginning. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. God has prepared many things. But how does it come to us? But God, verse 10, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, not by our minds, Maybe our mind is very trained. Maybe you're very clever. Maybe you studied. And when the time for the exams comes, you train your mind 8 hours a day. You really bring your mind to the limit. But that's not going to help us in understanding all the things that God has prepared for us. God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. But how well do we know Him? How much do we take heed to the Holy Spirit? How quickly do we notice if we have dampened the Holy Spirit? You know, sometimes, actually very often, we use our cell phone loosely. We look at this, oh, what happened here, this and that, And then we look a little bit here, we look a little bit there. After 10 or 15 minutes, your spirit is already completely dampened. And for what? For nothing. This is the serpent. The serpent knows. Okay, you take the time in the morning to seek the Lord. And then as soon as you have sought the Lord, you're strengthened, you're full of the Holy Spirit, then you take your cell phone, and then you look and see what happened in the world. It's loose. And then the serpent comes, and he already has dampened your spirit. And after half an hour, your spirit is already burning on half flame. Then at 11 o'clock, you take your phone again and you inform yourself about this and that and all sorts of things. Not because you need it. Not because you have a task to do. But just out of mindlessness. And this kills your spirit. I noticed the Lord told me, your whole unsuspecting and simple, guileless dealing with the world is what dampens and kills your spirit. That's why your spirit is so weak. Even if there's just a little bit to do in God's kingdom, you feel like someone who has fever and you should go to work today. Yeah? Sometimes God's kingdom should be built up by prayer, by word, by serving. But then as soon as it's time to do that, I feel like, oh, I just need to lay on the couch. It shows that my spiritual life is sick. My spiritual life is weak. It is undernourished. Through some sort of deceit of the devil, I've been turned off. Do we want to live like this? The Lord asked me, do you want to continue this way? I told the Lord, no. I don't want to continue this way. You have to show me how I can get to know the Spirit more than I've ever known anything else before. How I can exercise my spirit. How I can live by the Spirit. How I can bring my soul under the reign of the Lord. How my flesh can be put to death by the Spirit. I need to learn this by any means, whatever the price. And the Lord changed my whole dealing throughout the day. How I deal with my cell phone, even how I deal with the Word. I take time for the morning watch, but the day is long. How often do I eat the Word, read the Word, think about it throughout the day? I don't even care about it. I'm happy maybe if I just had a morning watch and then go to work, but I don't put any effort to chew on the Word throughout the day. The Lord showed me, you're not putting any effort into it. You're using your mind to read the news, but you're not using your mind to read my Word. You can remember everything that's going on in the current events of the world today, but you can't remember the Word. No wonder your spirit is so wretched. To build this city, I think the Lord is waiting for us to give ourselves fully for this purpose. I think that's the bottleneck here. He's waiting for us to give ourselves, to say, Lord, I want to get to know this wonderful spirit that you gave me. Last night we heard that the whole city comes out of heaven from God. But who's the transporter? Who's the delivery line between heaven and earth? John 16. The Lord gave us a wonderful connection, a wonderful ladder. John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He can bring you into the reality of every single word of God. But He can only do this if your spirit is strengthened, if your spirit is nourished, if your spirit is the absolute priority in your life. When I was 14, I liked to do sports. Every day I exercised at least 1 hour strength training. I was so such in shape. I could do sports. I had no muscle pain, whatever. But what's the use of it? You don't need it every day. 2 days a week are enough. But if the Spirit is trained every day, exercised, strengthened, protected, then you will develop a spirit with which God can build His city with. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. This is a word that shows us how God prepares the people who will build the city. It's not just enough to be a man. It's not enough to be born again. You need people who are spiritual men, who are strong in their spirit. Otherwise, God cannot do His work with us. Luke 1, verse 80. So the child grew and became strong in spirit. Do you have this desire? I really have this desire. Recently, I met somebody. He was so, he had such big muscles. And I thought, Lord, I want to have a strong spirit as this man has strong muscles. I want to be strong in my spirit like this man is strong in his body. Someone who really overcomes flesh. It's not about that you have a strong presence to have, but it's that you cannot be deceived, that you don't waste your time, that we have strength to pray. You can see really quickly what state your spirit is. As long as you stay spiritually inactive, you don't notice how strong your spirit is. If you lay on the couch every day, you don't notice if you are like someone who trains or someone who doesn't train. Both can sleep well. But if it's about doing something, if it's about being active, then you can notice the difference very quickly. This is how it is when our spirit is strong. The child grew and became strong in the spirit. Then we have strength to pray, even to pray without ceasing, unceasingly. You can't stop praying because the burden for God's temple, for God's new Jerusalem, burns in your heart. Even when you're lying in bed at night, you say, Lord, go on with me. I really noticed all of the thoughts in my mind when I lie in bed have changed. It used to be politics or, I don't know, all sorts of things. Now when I lie in bed at night, I think about Psalms, Revelation. That's so much better. It's really worth it to take care of the born-again spirit in us, that our spirit is nourished. Because it's not just about us. It's about building up this city. It's really about building up this holy city. Now I'm back to John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. I really want to get to know this. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. So how much of this verse have we already really experienced? How often do we beg the Lord to show us the effect of His Spirit in my life? Last night we heard we should be subject to the Christ, submissive to the Lord in all things. How often since last night did we pray, Lord, give me this reality? Or did we forget it all already? Who since last night really said, Lord, give me this reality? Or were we distracted somewhere? If we don't give all for this, then we can only experience this connection between heaven and earth a little bit. A little bit will trickle down on Sunday morning, perhaps. But look how big this city is. How much gold do we need for this city? And all this gold is in heaven. Corinthians says he prepared many things for us, but who is bringing it down to earth? Who's going to get it? Look how much Paul went up and brought down. I told the Lord, Lord, I want to really have a spirit like Paul. He's really a role model to me. Paul said, follow me, become my followers. Imitate my behavior. It's not that we have to travel the world and start up churches all over the world like Paul did, but do I really want to know the Spirit of truth as Paul did? Do I want that the Spirit of truth can lead me into all reality? Yesterday we talked about the spirit of the fear of the Lord. When I came home, I read Isaiah 11 again. I said, Lord, I really want to get to know this Spirit, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And I had to repent so much in the recent days because I saw through my being unfocused on the Spirit, through my mindlessness, I wasted so much capacity in my life instead of gaining more of these heavenly riches. The Lord really wants to encourage us. Let us not just look at ourselves and think, oh, why am I like this? Let's say, Lord, I want to follow you. I give myself to you. Lord, I change my focus. I want to give everything to get to know this Spirit of truth, to make this connection to heaven like the Autobahn, that so much can come down from heaven as possible. Yeah. Everything in this world wants to optimize itself. The economy, athletes. But the only thing in this life that really has no limit is the Spirit. But how many people are really striving to know the Lord more? Paul was like this. He said, I forget all things that are behind, and I pursue the goal that is set before me, and I want to know the Lord more. This man only had one goal, and he follows it fully, and he still worked a lot. He didn't just work that he could supply for his own earthly needs, but he could even supply for his workers. So his hands maybe were making tents, but his heart was doing something else. You might think to make tents isn't a very special job, not a high career. What about Daniel? Daniel had a very high position in the world. Or is anyone here the right hand of a leader of a country? None of us have a job like Daniel had. He was a right-hand man of the king. Daniel 6:21. The king said to Daniel, Daniel, you, my true faithful servant, that you serve me all the time. What did the king say to Daniel? He said, you are a servant of the living God. The servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? It was Daniel 6, verse 20. Daniel did his work. He carried out his profession, but he was continuously serving the living God. You can't keep Daniel from serving the living God. And he didn't care what he was doing. It was just a work for him. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Maybe the Lord comes back this year. Who among us can say he won't come back this year? Maybe he comes this year. Maybe he comes for you tomorrow. See, at Ann's workplace, his CEO fell over dead. This week, a cleaning lady came. She told us her 31-year-old nephew just died, keeled over dead, one day after the other. Nobody knows who is going. No one knows how long their time will be. We need to use our time completely for the Lord's purpose. Everything else will turn to ash. The time is short. Those who have wives should be as if they do not have any. But don't make your marriage to your God. Don't make your marriage to your priority in your life, or it will become a curse for you. Let God be the number one in your life. Everything else should come after. Those who mourn as those who do not mourn. Those who are glad as if they are not glad. Those who buy as if they do not own anything. Doesn't matter how much you have. The Lord had nothing. We are all richer than the Lord was. Every one of us in this room possesses more than Jesus Christ ever possessed. We each have a bed. We even have several beds. Sometimes I sleep in this bed. Sometimes I sleep in that bed. I have options. The Lord had not one bed. And those who use the world as if they do not need it. You know, this world is maybe the biggest danger for us all, the biggest risk for us all, that our spirit goes down into the cellar and we cannot build this city and we lose our reward. This is the masterwork of the devil to draw the believers down through the world. For the image of this world passes away. That's nicely said. How will it pass away? We'll all be burnt. And this is why I say this is all the enemy's speciality. What was the last part of the Lord's being tried in the wilderness by the devil? Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up, where? To an exceedingly high mountain. There are many high mountains. The question is, who takes you to the high mountain? The devil can also take you to a very high mountain. John was taken onto a very exceedingly high mountain by the Spirit. Which high mountain are you standing on today? Do you see the world so wonderful, so glory? I want this, I want that, it's so glorious. Or do we see this city? What excites you? What excites you? Are you excited about the things in this world, or are you excited about this holy city? What really grasps you? Depends on which mountain you're standing on. And I tell you, you cannot stand on both mountains at the same time. You can't be on both peaks at the same time. You have to know one thing for sure. You can either serve God or you can serve mammon, money. You either serve this age or you serve the living God. You cannot bring the two together. You have to give up one to have the other. You will love the one and hate the other. You will hang on the one and you will despise the other. And if we stand in the middle, then I tell you, you don't have anything at all. You lose your reward and you also are captured in the world. You become lukewarm. The time is so short. The Lord showed me, if you really don't become absolute. It's not just about the meeting, it's about my whole mindset. how I spend the hours of my day, the minutes of my day. I only use my day for the Word of God, and that's it. If I have a 5-minute break, I read the Word. I don't care what's going on in the world anymore. I want to gain Christ. I want to have a strong spirit. I want to be ruled by Him. I want to pray for the saints. I want to be built up into this city. I want to see much more from this high and exceeding mountain. And then in the evening, if I have a few more minutes, I might read the news, I might not. I don't care. It doesn't interest me anymore because I want to build the city. That's what this is about. And you know, the Lord really rewards it. We won't be missing out on anything. Then we will really start to live. It's really wonderful. But this the devil took the Lord into an exceedingly high mountain, Matthew 4:8, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. For whom is it a glory? Is it a glory for the flesh and the soul? For the flesh and the soul, there is much glory in this world. For the spirit, there is no glory. The spirit has no interest. Do you think God is interested to go on this or that trip? If that were the case, the Lord would have gone on several nice trips. What did the Lord do with his whole life? He was so capable. He didn't do anything. He was like a nobody in the eyes of the world. But day by day, he prepared God's purpose until he was 30 years old, and then his service to the Lord began. He used every day to speak to the Father, to pray, to take the Word of God, to learn everything that a man needs to learn to be useful for the Lord. And when the time came, when he was 30 years old, the Lord was so prepared. It's really strong, really impressive. And then the devil said to him, all these things, Matthew 4, verse 9, all these things I will give you. It's impossible. Not any man can have all things. But it says, if, here's the condition, if you will fall down and worship me. Everything comes with a price. When we serve God, what's the price? We have to leave our soul life. And what's the reward? The crown of glory, the crown of righteousness. What kind of crown do you want to have? The crown of life, the crown of righteousness. What kind of crown do you want? An imperishable crown of victory. Then Jesus said to him in verse 10, away with you, Satan. We only see the world, but we don't see the devil who's behind it, and that's the problem. You see the offer of the world, but the one who made the offer to you, to capture you, do you know what Jesus calls him? A liar, a deceiver, and a murderer from the beginning on. Is this the one you want to serve? Recently had a situation in my work life. I had a desire to do a certain type of work. And I applied for a certain position, and I was even offered a position in this area. And then I went home, and the Lord said, you have a choice. I gave you the peace in your life. I helped you at home with family. Everything is set up so that you can give yourself to the Lord and to the church, or you can give yourself for your career. It's up to you, your choice. I told the Lord, never. I chose you. I wrote to the man. I said, please give the position to somebody else. I don't accept. I don't need it. We belong to the living God. He needs to decide. We only belong to Him. Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. You should worship the Lord your God, and Him alone you shall serve. It's not that we should just believe in Him. We need to serve Him. The world and religion, they always come closely together, because if my heart loves the world, then the effect will be my faith will become weak. and then I'm in religion. If my heart is in, if my heart loves the world, then my work for the Lord will be dead works. And my behavior will just become an outward behavior, a pretending. The world and religion, those are the masterpieces of the devil to destroy God's work. How can you overcome it? You should say, you should worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Not just Him shall you serve, but Him only shall you serve. This is the only way to overcome the world. And when you overcome the world, then you can overcome religion. If your heart belongs to the Lord completely, then you don't have dead works, dead letters, outward behavior. Then you have strength. Then it gives you strength. The kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. If we don't have power in our spirit, and if it does not increase again and again, we can meet 100 times. At the end, it's just Babylon. And you know, to build Babylon, doesn't matter how big it gets. When you read Revelation 17, it all becomes ash. Can you imagine? The biggest institution in this world is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has 1.4 billion members. Tell me one club or organization in this world has so many members. It's the biggest and richest organization in this world, the Catholic Church. And what will happen to the Catholic Church in Revelation 14 and 17? It turns to ash. It will be burnt. So if we're just doing religion, just listening to preachings, meet together, doesn't matter how many people we grow to, at the end it will all be for naught. But if we give ourselves completely to the Lord, if we learn to live by the Spirit, to give everything to the Lord, then it will stay for eternity. What do we want to do? Doesn't matter how many people we meet here. It matters what kind of people we are here. And then the devil left him, verse 11, Matthew 4:11. How did the Lord overcome the devil? By the word. He overcame him by the word. I only have one favorite food, and that's the word of God. I nourish my children at breakfast with the word. And dinner, we eat the word. I love the word because the Lord nourishes us. He makes us strong. You know, those who don't get raptured to the throne, the woman in Revelation 12, what happens to her when she's in the wilderness? It says she will be nourished. Why? Because she is undernourished. She is malnourished. Often we are malnourished spiritually. What do we speak about when we come together? If we are full of the Spirit, if we are nourished by the Spirit, are you going to talk about soccer? I don't know anything about soccer. I don't think you can talk to the Lord about soccer. He doesn't know anything about soccer. But you can talk with Him about the Word. And not just in a teaching, about a teaching, but in a living way. Sometimes it's just teaching, just the letter. Then you have to say, Lord, speak to me. Recently, while I was preparing for the conference, I felt like it's just the word is not entering into my spirit. I said, Lord, speak to me. I don't just want the letter. Let me eat you until it's in my heart. Help me that I can eat it. Because only to have knowledge doesn't strengthen you. Just to read a menu doesn't strengthen you. And the Lord overcame Satan by the word. May the Lord really strengthen us, that we can make His word to our favorite food. Doesn't matter what we do in the world. We don't need to know so many things, but let us be nourished by the word. Let us know what the Lord is doing today. Let us pray for one another. Let us love the Lord with our whole hearts. That's worth it. Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not be soulish. 1 Corinthians 2 says, 1 Corinthians 2, Verse 14. A soulish man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. First Corinthians 2:14. And he's not talking about unbelievers. This also applies to believers. It's dangerous. If I don't learn to live by the Spirit, and if I don't know my Spirit, then at the end, what the Lord is doing for me will seem like foolishness to me. And I'll say, that's not true. Let that be. Forget about it. We don't need it. Where does this attitude come from? If I speak this way and what the Lord is doing, then it's because I'm living in my soul love. I'm born again, but I haven't learned to live by the Spirit. Then the spiritual matters become foolishness to me. That's dangerous. That's really dangerous. When the Lord said in Matthew 16, I will go into the cross, what did Peter say to him? That should not happen to you by any means. Yeah, that came out of his soul. What did the Lord say to him in return? Get behind me, Satan. That showed me that if I don't learn to live by the Spirit, to take heed to him, then at the end, I turn into a danger for the church. I can become a big problem for the church. And we don't want that. We want much more to be useful for the Lord. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 2:15. For he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. What goes on in our head says a lot about how we live, how we think. So may the Lord strengthen us. There are many verses in the outline. I hope this is an encouragement and a strengthening for us to be completely focused upon the Lord and to learn to live such a life. You have to change your habits to really live by the Spirit. It doesn't happen from yesterday to today. If you want to learn Chinese, you can't learn Chinese overnight, unless you can speak it already. It takes time. It takes practice. So let's learn to live by the Spirit. That's worth it, because this builds a city, and there will be a great reward. Read that verse. 1 Corinthians 3:14. This way of life has a great reward. 1 Corinthians 3:14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Praise the Lord. May the Lord strengthen us, that we can go on with him anew and say, Lord, make all things new. It's worth it. And then the Lord can come back quickly. Then the Lord can come quickly if he gains us completely for this purpose. Praise the Lord. Let's have some prayers.